start on that note. Since
this week we're going to wish a mazel tov to the royal family. So you know, we've been discussing the dream of every little girl to be a princess, I guess. So I was reading an article in the Atlantic magazine. I get the Atlantic magazine, which it's a stuck-up, self-serving, probably pretty right-wing magazine. You know, like right-wing thought. So there was this article that I read about rich people. This guy does research into rich people.
Yeah.
And he said, very fascinating, he said that rich people, by and large, are not happy. Because, you know, it's a classic Gemara, because we're right. You know, the more money you have, the more worry you have. They have just great concerns about it's so true. It is absolutely true. But even worse than that, like if you're poor and you're worried about money, people feel bad for you. If you're rich and you're worried about money,
it's like,
oh, poor baby, right? Now, give me your problems, you know what I mean? And so not only the rich are not only worried about, you know, their money, they did a survey.
They're not going to tell them.
You're not going to tell how much you have. They're always trying to keep up with, they say, keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, they can't keep up. They can't, share their troubles because everyone's not going to feel bad for them. Plus, they say something interesting. They did a survey. They said, are you comfortable? And no matter how much they had, whether you had $25 million or over $1 billion, you always felt you're not really comfortable unless you had a quarter more money than you had. 25% more money
You're
than kidding. You had. Yeah, right. It's never enough. Okay? And they had another very legitimate concern. Very legitimate concern, which was they were all afraid of messing up their kids. Because there's nothing worse for a child than knowing
and
that
you know
nothing you can do will mess up your future.
Do you know what else they worry about?
Yeah.
If the children are going to marry people
for their money, who want their money. Yeah.
What about if their friends are really
so? So all of you who want to be
everybody,
all of you who want to be princesses, I say this with the utmost of sincerity, you don't want it.
Nobody says we want it.
Oh, you mean you want it in
the wedding?
No, you. Oh,
it's like she's.
Okay.
You know,
Let's focus on, you know, we're going to actually do one or two psukim today, because we're going to do the beginning of Kedoshim. I must say, I don't know if there's any huge chidushim in what I'm going to tell you, but it's an important discussion to have, because the beginning of Parsha Kedoshim, we're going to discuss Kedusha, sanctity, okay, and obviously this is relevant because we're talking about the context of, you know, Kedushin. That's a good segue, right? Huh? You're going to the party. Oh God. Okay. Have a great time. Seriously, with your tea.
My husband's waiting
in England.
Huh?
The waiting.
Your husband couldn't be farther away. He could care less.
Prince William.
He wouldn't even look. Right. Anyway, so let's do beginning of Parashat Kedoshim.
Can I tell you, they did a rehearsal at 4 o'clock this morning with all the guards and all the horses and blocked off all the roads so that they won't disturb any traffic.
Such chesed.
They're having a huge
party in Mazan. I'm so
moved. You're kidding.
My friend's doing a job.
You guys, we're not helping ourselves. Okay, Kedoshim. Perek Yud Tet. Beginning Perek Yud Tet. We're just gonna start the beginning. We're gonna analyze the first pasuk or two, and we're gonna do a survey of some of the midrashim and some of the mefarshim that discuss this issue, because it raises, I think, a challenging issue. We just finished Pesach. We're coming off the high. I had a wonderful Yom Tov, just a beautiful Yom Tov with family and Kedusha and Chag. And it's more like, and we're also Sfirat HaOmer, you know, and we're supposed to be counting up towards Matan Torah, and implicit in Sfirat HaOmer, we're going towards the giving of the Torah, and we're supposed to be Amlechet Kohanim Gadol Kadosh, and the beginning of this parasha, it presents us the classic question. So we'll just start by Deber Hashem Moshe Le'mor, Deber El Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael V'Amarta Aleihem Kedoshim Tihyu. Right? Speak to the entire congregation of Bnei Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Right? So we have a lot of problems with this pasuk. I'm going to read it again. But the fundamental question that we have to ask ourselves in this pasuk is, what does the meaning of the word holy mean? You shall be holy. Thank you very much. That's, you know what I'm saying? That's like another term that everybody throws around today. Nobody has any idea what it means, which is, searching for spirituality. I want to be spiritual.
I have been on a quest for years.
How's that going for you? Still have no idea.
Nobody can really define spirituality.
Correct.
In any Jewish sense.
Correct.
They fall back in all the Christian language, and it's as if it seems to be a Christian word.
Spirituality.
Yeah.
See, it's interesting. I'm actually reading a book. You know this rabbi, Rabbi Barb Doron. Has anybody gone to hear him? So I went to him a few times. Serena bought me a book of his.
Oh.
And what? I don't know. It's up there. I don't remember the title. It's up there somewhere. I don't remember
in
the title
English,
of it. No, in Hebrew. In Hebrew. I mean, it's a book of essays, really. And he's just gotten into this idea of Ruchniyat. I'll see if I can help you a little bit. But again, the idea, sometimes I think...
But Kadosh and Ruchniyat.
No, they're not the same.
No.
So, sometimes I think we speak about this idea of spirituality in a sense of searching for the unknowable or the unfindable. And we're going to see it in Kedusha also.
Nice.
You understand what I'm saying? Meaning like... How should I say this? It's almost an excuse to not find what I'm looking for. You know what I'm saying? I want to be spiritual. You hear this all the time. Oh, I'm a very spiritual person. Do you keep the commandments? No, really. But I feel God. What does spirituality mean? It means whatever I want it to mean in order to do whatever it is I want to do and call that religion. You know, that's there's a lot of that going around.
I'm religious, but I'm not observant.
Which means nothing.
I think it's feeling a connection to Hashem.
Feeling a connection to God.
Talking to Him, you know.
That's spirituality. Nice. That works for you. That's great. So let's talk about Kedusha. What does it mean, Kedoshim, to you? You shall be holy. So let's do the pasuk because it's.
What's the difference between Kedosh and
Tahor? Ah, very good. Tahor. We know what that is. What is Tahor?
Pure.
Well, so what does it mean to be pure? Not clean. Wow.
Spiritually
pure.
Pure.
Correct. So what is tahor? There's a very easy definition of spiritually pure. What does it mean to be spiritually pure? Correct. Spiritually pure is a lack of impurity. Right? If you say, are you clean, what does that mean?
You haven't come into contact with...
You're not dirty. You're not dirty. Are your hands clean? What that means is, you know, is there dirt on them or not? They're very easy. You know what I'm saying? So if you wash your hands, they're clean. It depends on what you wash them. But if the kids wash their hands, you can check them and smell them and make sure that they use soap. And then they're clean. Okay? You can make sure that they're clean. That's tahor. Tahor is the removal of spiritual impurity. We know what that means.
So it's something in itself.
Then Kedusha, totally different.
So what are spiritual...
I'll give you just an example. How do I know, Lori? In Shishas Sidrei Mishnah, there are six siddarim, six orders. One of them is called kadshim, and one of them is called taharot. Right? One is talking about kadshim, kedusha, and it deals primarily with sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash. And the other one is taharot, all kinds of ritual impurity. Just like, you know, list them. There's a gazillion of them. But those are not connected. Not connected at all. We are tameim, but we still aspire to kedusha. Now, the Torah forbids a person who's tamei met to go to the places that are holy. Right? That Tum'ah can be an impediment to Kedusha. But not necessarily. Yeah, Aviva, you wanted to say something?
You said, you use spiritual again. You said spiritual impurity.
Ritual impurity, we'll call it.
Oh, okay.
Right? It doesn't mean it's not physical uncleanliness at all. It has nothing to do with physical cleanliness or uncleanliness at all. It's Tum'ah Mate. It's a totally different category altogether. Okay, tumat meit, tumat nida, tumat ziva. There's all kinds of tumah, right? That have nothing to do with kedusha, kedoshim to you. Tumah can be an impediment because people who are tameh are proscribed from going to certain places, eating certain foods, doing certain things. Okay, but they're not connected inherently. They're not intrinsically connected. One is a spiritual state. One we'll see is a religious state. Okay. Let's go back to the pasuk. Daber el kol adat bnei Yisrael ve'amarta aleihem kedoshim to you. Speak to the entire congregation of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy. Ki kadosh ani Hashem elokechem. Shall I give it to you or shall I do it myself? There are at least three, probably four major problems with this pasuk. Well, it's at least three.
Adat bnei Yisrael.
Good. What is adat bnei Yisrael? What does that mean? Speak to kol adat bnei Yisrael.
An aid is a witness.
A witness, but adat b'Yisrael is the congregation of the Jewish people. Okay, so what does that mean? So let's look at Rashi first. Well, actually, before we get to Rashi, what does it sound like it means?
There was like...
Everyone. Yeah. Very good.
Woman,
very good. Excellent.
The assembly.
The assembly. Very good.
Just B'nai
so,
would
no. When Moshe, this, so the Arachai was a whole essay. What does it mean when Moshe gave, when he usually gave mitzvot, how did he give the mitzvot? This also is a good question. Right. So Moshe gave it to Yeshua. And then Moshe gave it to, then the Zekanim came in. Moshe gave it to Yeshua and Zekanim. And then the, whatever, then the, like, apparently each person heard it four times repeated. Moshe would say it four times, and then Yeshua would say it four times. Each time, a different group would come and go. So everybody heard the mitzvah, but it was always a, it was the beginning of the transmission. It was a series, of, it was a transmission. So comes along God and says, this is not to be transmitted. This is to be, meaning it's not to be transmitted word to mouth in the normal way.
Everyone
has to hear this. Okay, look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says, Daber kol adat b'nei Yisrael, milamed, this teaches us, shene'emra parsha zo b'hakel. Hakel, what is Hakel? Hakel was the communal gathering together. Okay? Was it that long ago? It's so big already, sitting up. Crazy. Okay, and Hakel, B'nei Shirov. What? What?
It is crazy.
It does go so, yeah, unbelievable. Stop it. I mean, there was a, okay. B'nei Shirov Gufei HaTorah Tluyin Ba. What is Rashi answering there? We have to ask a question. The question we have to ask is, But what's the question we have to ask ourselves again about the pasuk? If the Torah says, "Daber al kol adat bnei Yisrael," speak to the entire community of Israel. I want you to tell everybody this. Everybody should know this together. What question do we have to ask ourselves?
Does everyone have to be
part of it? Well, everybody. No, one second. Before you get to that, you're already jumping. The second, you're already at the second question.
Why does everyone have to be part?
Right. What's so important about this? What's so important about this? Yeah, say it the way normal way. Everybody, what, you think Shabbos is not important? Kashrut is not important? What's so important about this that you have to give to everyone? So says Rashi, B'bnei Shirov Gufei Torat Luyim Bo. Rov, the majority of the Gufei Torah. How does it translate that? You got the
body.
The body of the Torah is dependent upon this. Which only begets the next question, which is,
what is this?
Yeah, what? Okay, I want to say this is really, 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 really important. You shall be holy. Thanks. You know what I'm saying? I want to tell everybody. I'm on this kick. I don't know if their husbands tell you about the shiur I gave to the men about to the men also about this idea of Rishaim Tzadikim.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm speaking to Rav Holstein about it. You know Rav Holstein.
My husband just said he gave you a hard time.
He gave me a hard time?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. I can handle it. I'm good. If they can handle it, I can certainly handle it. And so, like, about what are chilonim today? Are they people who willfully sinful? We spoke about it exactly before.
Right.
Pesach? Correct. That's why I got me on this kick. You know, when I start thinking about something, I just can't stop thinking about it. Right. With the Haggadah. So, Rav Holstein says, you are like so sheltered, it's not even funny. Because most secular people, they have no idea what Judaism is all about. Like, do they know what Shabbat is? Yeah, they know, like, in a general sense. They have no idea. Like, simple, basic, in Israel. Well, for sure in general, but if in Israel, then for sure.
And
they never met in for Shabbos.
And they came for Friday night.
They loved it, right?
They thought that's in candles. And then Kiddush was just
like
blew them out of
the water. What are we
doing? Why is that? So they don't know.
Meaning, you say to all the people, you should be holy. How? Like, what are we doing wrong? Like, what are we doing wrong? Like, you know.
Rav Lau gave a whole share on this.
That's great. That's driven.
No, he said the responsibility, he says, is ours to teach them. He said because they're not educated and they don't know and they're not exposed.
Right.
And we're so busy saying, oh, they can't come to my Shabbos table. Oh, this is wrong. And we're so busy pushing them away.
So true.
That we're not pulling them.
I struggle with this a lot. So they say to all the Jewish people, you should be holy. Like you say to them, be holy. Okay, we should be holy. Like we have no idea what that means. So we're gonna see. I want to do like a sort of like a survey of a number of different parshanim on this. Okay, we're going to go from shat to drash, obviously. What?
You need
a whiteboard, because you'll see that there's a spectrum, and we have to ask ourselves where we fall on the spectrum. It's a very fascinating spectrum about what it means to be...
Of Kedusha, of
interpretations of what it means to be Kedusha. Meaning, from the technical to the most broad and ethereal, from the literal to the most, you know, general, We'll see. And also, I think there's a historical element to it as well. What does it mean to be holy? So if you'd ask somebody today, what does it mean? And you know, this is really, really important. What does it mean to be holy? You'd say, what does it mean? How do we be a holy people?
First word out of the mouth would be spiritual.
Spiritual. That means nothing.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So now I say, that's not fair. I will not accept non-specific, non-direct.
Do you have intrinsic holiness because you're a Jew?
Like, what's the witness thing? Adat Israel. Okay. Meaning, well, let's say, I want to focus on the mitzvah, on the commandment. What does it mean to be holy? What
so
it was,
I'm going
to
tell you. I'm not going to give up. I went to Shua Shan Target at the beginning of the class.
Okay.
So she asked the question, what is holy? And an hour, it took an hour of debate.
To get to.
Well, I don't know if you want.
You can go and say it.
She said, holy is whatever Hashem says it is.
Thank you. Now, you have still not answered my question because you've given me.
Says,
good. So Hashem said, okay, God says, be holy because I'm holy. Say, be holy because I'm holy. Thanks, God. Now what do I do? You know what I'm saying?
Just be holy.
Doing what?
Everything that you do.
So you want to interpret holiness
take away your
in the most broad... Okay, yours is so broad, I don't even know what it means. And I don't mean that as an insult. You're saying, everything you do, I'm now having a cup of coffee. When I drink this cup of coffee, I should drink this cup of coffee for God.
When you say by making a bracha, you elevate it as opposed to not making a bracha.
You're drinking that cup of coffee because you want to make a bracha.
No.
I aim, like the
Chazon Ish, he counts the bracha, I got the 99, okay, give me an apple. No. I should. Oh, you think that ideally?
I'm talking to Silat Yashari, not what you aim for.
We're so nice.
Not that you have to be there.
Okay, very good. Let's translate what you talked about, Misilat Yisharim. Does everybody know what that means, Misilat Yisharim? Misilat Yisharim is a book of Musar. Not Musar, ethics. It's really Kabbalah, to be honest with you. Written by the Ramchal, right? Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato. It's the classic, it's considered the classic Musar work, which Musar means ethics and self-improvement. And he writes a book about the stages to self-improvement, that a person has to work on himself and go from one stage to the next stage to the next stage in order to reach, he says, ultimately you could reach Ruach HaKodesh. You could become a prophet to God. And one of the ultimate stages you want to get to is what's called Kiddusha, holiness and sanctity. So you're saying that what I should get to is that I should not want the coffee because I need the jolt and because I like it.
Yeah.
I should want the coffee because it will make me appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he created this unbelievable stuff and he gave me the nourishment.
Holy because just say you're using the coffee to be awake to get the shear.
That's a much lower level than what she's saying, isn't it? Or no?
Well, you could use the coffee to be awake to go.
Again, but you guys are all talking about.
Yeah, he's just drinking coffee as a reason to give a bracha to Kiddusha.
Yeah, that's right. You guys are all talking about something very esoteric. You're not telling me what to do. You're telling me that in everything I do. Everything I do, that's holiness. Right. Anybody want to go another way? Anybody want to take it a different way? Miriam?
Holiness means being separate.
Okay, very good.
Separate from what? Separate from other nations, separate from...
Okay, you're very general.
Holiness.
You're very general.
I'm
not
making that rule. Like, if you took half of the halakhot, like none of us would think that's being holy. Like, if we were to choose what's being holy, like putting on tefillin, what is that? Like, it's the most bizarre thing in the entire world. Put a box on your head that's considered like something...
Ah, excellent.
Because it's got a shin on it.
Excellent. Like, well, that's not partially on it.
No, I'm just saying. Like,
right.
But, like, what we take from the Torah and interpret as holy, like, I'm sure half of the things like that we do, like that we do sitting in a tent, you know, I'm just trying to think from the...
It's so nice that you said, we're going to come back to this at the end. Very good. Okay, or sort of in the middle.
Well, like, for example, like with mikvah. You know, when you go to the mikvah, you're holy, right? Afterwards?
No.
You're clean.
Very good.
Okay, but being... But fact that you're keeping mikvah makes you separate from your husband, right? And
uh-huh.
That's holy.
Excellent. So he's saying holiness is, kedusha is?
Separate. Hashem is separate from everyone.
Okay, now we're getting a little closer.
Or are you saying it's following the mitzvah?
Well, that's making you separate.
One classic, one classic interpretation of kedusha. The more kadosh you are, kedusha is separateness. But separateness meaning designated. Okay, think about the way we treat holy items. What do we treat Like, what's the holiest item we have?
Sefer Torah.
What do we do with that Sefer Torah?
Keep it protected.
We keep it protected in the holiest place, in the holiest room, in the holiest building that we have. What makes these things holy?
They're designated to be.
So that is like the chicken and the egg kind of question.
The Shekhinah has a higher presence.
Why do we say that?
Because we don't do mundane.
We don't, and we don't, and we treat that. We treat that place holy. You know, we treat that place differently. So one could argue then holiness. So the question is this. Maybe, I think we had this debate once. Is it intrinsically holy, a Sefer Torah? Or is it holy because we treat it differently than we would treat other things? Meaning this, we've had this discussion, right? These books are holy books. Are they holy books because of the words they contain? Or, they're holy, or we treat them, they're holy books because we treat them with dignity and respect because of the words they contain. It's both. It's the chicken and the egg. Both of them. You know, I had this debate with, a long debate with Dr. Menachem, Dr. Menachem Kellner, who's a very, very well-known Maimonidean professor in the University of Haifa. So he came to my house. He was a scholar in residence in Detroit. So I had this debate with him. If I could, you know, create on my cell phone an app, right, and I connected it to my iPod or whatever it was, that I could measure Kedusha. Could I create such a thing? Meaning, theoretically.
Theoretically, yeah.
Would this book measure, would it measure like a Geiger counter of Kedusha? Or, there is nothing different about this book. What about the rest of the Pasuk? Kedoshim tihyu, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. You shall be holy, for I am holy.
Is it for or is it
because?
Because. We never get a because.
You never get a because. Okay, let's think of Rashi. Rashi says something that's different than all of you think. Kudus kudushim to you. Rashi says, look at the context. The context of this parsha, what happened at the end of last parsha? We started at the beginning. That was like weeks ago. Achrei Mot and Kedoshim, bookend. Some very, very mundane things that we didn't do this year, but it's very important. Let's look at the very beginning of Parsha, what's that again? Perek Yudchet. It's important to see. We take these things for granted. But you shouldn't take them for granted. God spoke to Moshe, saying, I am the Lord your God. Don't act like the Egyptians. Don't do what the Egyptians did. Don't follow in their ordinances. Right? You should follow my commandments. You shall follow my statutes that a person does and live by them. Ani Hashem. What is it all this? Ish ish el kol she'er b'saro lo tikru legalot erva. Ani Hashem. You shall not come close to she'er b'saro, your relatives that was close with you, right? Arayot ervat avicha ervat imcha lo tegale ervata ervat eshet avicha lo tegale ervat avicha. Right. Start listing them. Your sister. Your mother, your sister's mother, your mother's sister, your daughter, your granddaughter, your mother, your mother's daughter, your wife, your daughter's wife, your sister's wife, your wife's sister. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? It goes on and on. Right? Now your uncle from your mother, your daughter-in-law, your sister-in-law. A woman and her daughter, right? A woman and her sister. Anida. Okay? Et cetera, et cetera. Homosexuality, bestiality. It's all, okay, and by the way, you think it only says it once? No, you got the whole list. Look at the end of Parsha Kedoshim. Kedoshim is hard, because at the end of Parsha Kedoshim, skip to Perek, 1 second. The end of Perek Kaf Aleph, I think. 1 second, right? Perek Kaf. Pasuk Chet. Kaf, Perek Kaf, chapter 20, Pasuk Chet. You got it? Habiba, you have it? Chapter 20. Verse 8. You have it? This is great. Ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. I am the Lord who? Where's that word again? Holiness. Why? Ki ish ish asher yekalel et aviv imo. You curse your mother and your father. Mot yumut aviv imo kilel damabo.
So this is what holiness is.
Hold on. The ish asher yin'af et eshet ish. Right? No if. Lo tin'af. What is tin'af? Lo tin'af. It's one of the Ten Commandments. No, that's tinaf. That's tachmod. What's lo tinaf? Lo tinaf. I'm on chapter 20, verse 10. What's lo tinaf? That's an important one. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's one of the 20. It's one of the 10. That's steal, right? Okay. Ish asher yinaf et eshet ish asher yinaf et eshet rehu lo tumat arev and arev. Now we get the punishments. Right? Except for you, right? Right? You will be killed. Ish asher yishkav et eshet aviv. If you sleep with your father's wife, right, you will die. You must get bed. Isha she yishkavet kalato, your mother-in-law, your daughter-in-law, you're dead. Isha she yishkavet zachar, homosexuality, you're dead. Pasuk Gedali, Isha yishkavet ishavet ima, a woman and her mother, a woman and her daughter, you're dead. Animals, you're dead, etc., etc. Okay. Before and after this long, explicit parshiyot about prohibited sexual behavior.
So that's what Kedoshim is.
Ah, Rashi says, let's go back to Kedoshim, beginning of Kedoshim. Debe al Kedoshim to you.
So does that mean that we're all holy if we just don't do this?
Sounds good.
What's the word for profane?
Chol.
That's really interesting.
Chol, mundane.
Mundane.
I thought there was a word very similar.
Hamavdil ben Kodesh. L'chol.
No, I thought there was a word very similar to Kodesh.
Kadesh. Very good. Well, Kadesh is not profane.
Okay, what is it?
Hold on a second. There's a midrash about it. Kedoshim tihyu. Okay, they say Kedoshim tihyu. Havu, look at Rashi. Havu prushim min ha'arayot u'min ha'aveira. Separate yourself from sexuality and sinfulness. Shekol makom ata motze gader erva. Ata motze kedusha. If you find a gader, what's a gader? A fence of erva, you find kedusha. Okay. What? Erva. Erva is the word for an inappropriate sexuality, or inappropriate sexual relationship. Okay. You shall not uncover nakedness. Okay. So what did you say, Aviva? So we're all good?
I said if we just abstain from all this really tempting behavior.
Well, one second. What's the key word in Rashi? It seems so easy, doesn't it? What's the key word in Rashi?
Make a fence.
Together.
How do you make a fence?
Oh, together. Well, one second. It seems. Well, it seems so easy. In our day and age.
What are we doing here? We are separate. We live amongst people who believe the same thing we do. We're not living in a mixed community where our neighbors are gay and that, or, you know, we're not living in neighborhoods where this behavior is not only accepted, it's elevated.
Okay.
So we have put up fences. We're choosing.
You live in a country where it's.
But within the country, we have chosen to.
I am so much less worried about the parade in Jerusalem than I am about many, many other things. We're, you know what I'm saying? And I include, this is not me or you, this is all of us. If we think that we're separated, of course, thank God, the norms of the society in which we live are far different for us than they are for other people. But even in the norms of society in which we live, see if I still have it, and I threw it out, okay? You know what I'm saying? The norms of society in which we live. This is not a good example, but this is the magazine of Mokor Rishon, the Mosei Shabbat new like fun magazine. Okay, so at the end it's got, of course, the movies, and movie reviews. Right. You know, Scream Tsa'aka Arba, Scream 4. I imagine probably. I don't know if that's necessarily the most clean. You know, Hamish Arete, I don't even know what that is. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is I'm sorry. Right?
So we should turn it back.
One profile, Facebook, right? I mean, I don't know. Like, we all have this stuff. You know, I mean, let's be honest. What's the geder? Where is the geder of Erva? Should we, what did you say? Should we?
Turn it back to liberty to be holy.
What do you think? What do you think?
Definitely.
Yeah, of course. And I'm saying all of us. Like, and so, where's the, it's mission creep. What do we say? You know, when we all want to be princesses, and we show our daughters. Now I come back to it. Now you could be a princess. I wonder, is the princess going to be dressed like a Jewish princess on her wedding day?
Well, rumor has it that she'll be wearing sleeves on her wedding dress.
Halavai, and her bodice? Oh, I mean, it's all going to be tzanua?
No, it's
all
going to be
tzanua. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Is the elevation of the princesses to you?
Actually, you know, the truth is, historically, when you look at how the princesses have, it has been
tzanua.
Halavai, we should all want to dress like the princess. Okay, I agree with you.
If you look at how royalty has dressed, they don't.
Because they believed in this.
My 3-year-old
watched Cinderella with the
older
sister,
Sue.
Yeah.
And then that Shabbos, she said to me, Mommy, am I a princess?
Yeah.
And I said yes, and she said to me, she's been having a hard time with not touching Mook's lap, so she said to me, well, princesses don't keep Shabbat.
Oh!
Maybe so I'm talking about Jewish princesses.
How's that tea party coming on? Okay, you asked for it, I'm sorry. Look at Tammy.
Sorry, I should say
sorry. Okay, so this is what's the getter? That's again. It's a moving target. This getter. I mean, so somebody would say, shut it all off, close it all off. It's not a simple matter. That's not so obvious. What?
You have to learn how to deal with it. You have to learn. I think separating is also when you encounter it, knowing that this is not something I want to be a part of. I am going to separate myself from this. I am not going to engage in this behavior.
Really? You mean I'm going to watch it and then not engage in it?
No, but sometimes you're in a situation.
And I'm telling you, I am not critical of anyone here. I'm speaking about myself as well. This is not like you. This is all of us. We are drawn into it. We live in a society where we allow ourselves to be exposed to things that are against our values. Even the most kosher shows, really the best shows that are totally kosher. You know what I'm saying? Like I was watching with my son. I let him watch this movie called The Blind Side. Wonderful movie about this woman.
You've seen more movies than us.
Seriously. This is 100%. I don't deny it. It's a true story. Beautiful story about this woman who opens her house to this football player. It was a wonderful movie about... Not really. But it's still in it. There's scenes between a husband and a wife. And you know what I'm saying? Like, really? Do we need to... And we just like... Glom that off, that's like harmless. Harmless should be harmless. Right?
But it's showing the kids that there's something other than what we...
Right? I mean, it's like, you know, like, and it, we say, you know, like, and it's something to, like you said, it's something to aspire to. Yeah. But Halavai should aspire to my coffee being a symbol of Kedusha. We should aspire to say, this is just really something that I want to bring into my house. And, you know, I'm not, nobody's perfect,
like,
but
if you work in a secular environment and all the men are going out to the bar, men and women are going out to the bar,
right?
You know, and you don't do that, you're separating yourself.
Correct, correct. Everybody on their level. But again, it is a moving target. This idea of Kedusha is a moving target. And I think we do separate ourselves. And the level at which we are exposed is significantly different than out there, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
But it's also knowing how to deal with it when it's out there. You know, I'm in front of my brother.
Well, one could argue exactly the opposite, and I think there's a lot of legitimacy to the argument that when you shield yourself in here, it becomes harder when you get out there to make the right choices.
Sometimes you don't have a... Right. I agree.
I
don't think so.
If you send your child to university and they become a professional...
And they survive.
Right. And they become a professional in a secular world in order to earn a parnasa. They haven't had exposure to it before. They don't know how to deal with it.
That's true.
Yeah, it's not simple. It isn't simple.
It's not so
simple. On the other hand, I think it's not. If you've given your kids the idea that this is absolutely not where we are, what we do, etc., I think it's easier for them when they encounter it to say...
Here's the problem. One second. Let's stop because I have to stop. I want to move on because I want to do some other mafarshim and I need to do my sekher klali. I need to do my survey. The problem with this is, what's the problem with sexuality? What's the core problem with sexuality? Why is it so pervasive in our lives? Yeah, we like it. Right? There's a ta'ava. So if there's a ta'ava to it, we're drawn to it. And there's also another problem with this ta'ava. God created the ta'ava. Isn't it you know, like you said that word. So it's so interesting. The Midrash says, you picked up on that word. The Midrash says, look at the word kiddushim. How do you spell kiddushim? How did Rashi spell kiddushim? Look at the Rashi. Look at the word, how it's spelled.
With a vav.
In the Rashi, it's interesting. It's spelled kiddushim. See it?
Yeah.
With a?
Vav.
With a vav. Look at the Torah.
It's without.
In the Torah, it's spelled chaser. The Midrash says, why is it without a vav? Lilamdicha, to teach you, she'im yelecha adam bidarchei baro, if you follow in God's ways, kadosh ye'amer lo, you can pronounce it as kadosh, if you follow God. Ava mishu holech b'shrirut libo, if you follow your heart, v'achar ta'avato, and after your desires, yikare kadesh. You know what a kadesh is? What's a kadesha? A kadesh is a prostitute. The line between kadosh, kadusha, and kadesha is a missing vav. Is whether you chaser or male.
Missing vav.
Right. Meaning, here's the problem. The same ta'ava, the same sexual desire, can be the total ultimate depravity, right? Or, like you were going to say, or
the ultimate holiness.
It's all how you read it. Yeah. Meaning, with the Masora, I think there's a beauty of it. With the Masora, with the Torah, you read it Kedusha, Kadosh. Without the Masora, if you take away God's tradition, it's Kadesh. Yeah, I'm sorry, you were going to say.
That's okay. No, it's just my own technique.
That's okay. You know?
No, I was going to say, like there was, in Melbourne, there was a whole big balagan, because in one of the really religious communities, the principal had abused some of the girls and it came out the reason she was in Melbourne was she had done the same thing in Israel, and then they quickly snuck her back to Israel, like before the police could get to her. And I say, because even though we live in communities that close and so forth, we assume
I don't want to do that. That is a fetish. I don't want to get there.
The other example that works with us also is kiddush. When we make kiddush on a Friday night, you're making wine and you're elevating it by bringing it holy. Or you can take it on another night and get drunk with it, and you haven't.
That's not good.
It's the same process.
Yeah. It can be talking.
Okay, so on that extreme, though, there's a problem. Or Or HaChaim says, he says, there's a problem because God created this ta'ava. So a person would say, wait a second, if I follow my God-given ta'ava, then I'm going to fail. I'm going to be nichshal. So what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to handle this? You say, separate myself from arayot. So he says something.
You get married, and you go to the mikvah and everything.
Let's even us married people, you know, we're married, so isn't that enough? The problem is, so there is a school of thought that says that when you give in to your desires, when you submit to them, they control you. And the ultimate of sanctity of Kiddushah is when the intellect overcomes or overwhelms the passion, the emotion. So how do you do that in human sexuality? So the Or HaChaim says, it's something fascinating. It's a little deep, and I have to be careful how I say it here. He says, you're stuck. How do you do it? Okay? He says, so in theory, a person who's totally holy should yimana atzmo. I'm going to read it because I don't think you have Or HaChaim anyway. Yimana atzmo mimin zakol ikar. So a person should hold himself back from sexuality totally. Right? Isn't that, and by the way, there's a religion that says this. What's the ultimate in holiness? Who's the ultimate holy person?
The Pope.
The monks.
The monks, the priests, the Pope. The nuns. Because sexuality is dirty. Sexuality is inappropriate.
But the first mitzvah in the Torah is
puru revu. That's it. Stop. The first commandment in the Torah is puru revu. That's a commandment. So you can say that. So he says, that God said you should sanctify yourself in as a commandment. Pirush, shelo yaaseh hadavar l'ta'avat hageshem u'lashlim hachefetz hasho alo asot davar. You should not engage in sexuality to fulfill a human desire. El yaaseh hadavar b'kedushah b'tahara. You should fulfill this act with holiness. Kemo shehitatef b'tzitzit. As if you're putting on tzitzit. Umachnis tefillin b'zaror. You're putting on tefillin. V'yima'es b'da'ato chefetz haba b'atzmo. And you should be repulsed by the act itself. Meaning, Just like you said, one second. I'm giving you extremes. I'm giving you extremes intentionally. Just like you said, like, don't drink the coffee because you like the coffee. You should be drinking the coffee because it's a way of coming close to God. And the coffee, it doesn't taste like anything. I don't drink coffee for the taste of coffee. That's the ultimate. You said that about coffee. Right? You said that. Shouldn't the same thing be true about sexuality? Right? The ultimate in sexuality is to distance yourself from sexuality. Right? It's almost like, I don't really need it, but it's a mitzvah. If God didn't command me to do it, I wouldn't do it. You're frowning.
Yeah, why? I don't like it at all.
You don't like it at all. I don't like it about my coffee either. You know what I'm saying?
I have to.
Then why is there
why? Mitzvah? Why? I have to. It's the same.
Coffee and the steak.
It's the same. God gave us.
One can produce another lamb, and one goes out the other way.
According to, for her benefit maybe, but not for, you're talking about a man who's engaged in trying to reach the highest levels of Kedushah. I wanted to give you the spectrum just to show you that there is a huge spectrum. I will say, l'halakha, we don't pass them this way. Just understand. This is I'm giving you a spectrum of Jewish thought, but halachically, I think, don't do this. What? Of course they have kids. It's a mitzvah. Well, who says that he was able to achieve what that to which he aspired? But he says, listen, if this is bad, if the ta'ava, if the desire is negative, if it will draw you away, then isn't it true, I mean, that you should not submit to the desire?
But then what about Shalom Bayit?
What about Shalom Bayit? Shouldn't your wife want you to aspire to Kiddushah? You should fulfill the mitzvah when it's a mitzvah. But more than that, your wife should also have the same aspiration.
But he has a mitzvah.
I'm just saying, this is the perspective of the Aruch Hayim. Okay? You have the Rashi that says that it's talking about Arayot, and if that's true, you could take it all the way to the nth degree, not to the priesthood, but right before that. You understand what I'm saying? Like, and it makes
that's
us.
For everyone
no. Well,
is that to be attentive?
I don't mean to. Okay. Let me be careful. I could see a person coming away from this, listening to this year, and feeling guilty about enjoying sexuality. I mean that we don't pass in this way. Many streams of Jewish thought disagree with this and say that's not true. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us these chushim because innately God wanted us to sanctify ourselves through human desires. 100%. That's well said. 100%. Right. The Aruch Hayim would say no. The idea is not to enjoy the food on Shabbos. Enjoy it to get to the point where she said, Kedusha is, I don't need the coffee. I don't need the holiness. We don't follow that line of thought. And I think in the day and age in which we live, and the people that we are, trying to be that way is dangerous.
I don't
try that way. You shouldn't try that way. It will cause destruction. It will cause pain. And I think that, I'm not on that level, and I don't know if I want to be on that level. I don't know if I agree with Aruch Hayim. No, I agree. To follow, to try to achieve Kedusha in that way. I think when you learn Mesilat Yesharim,
it's a very humbling book.
It is a very humbling book, but that might, I think that, how shall I say this in a way, that I found Musar Seder, when we were in Yeshiva, Musar Seder, right? I found it very, very belittling and frustrating. Because it made expectations of me that weren't just like, I'm not there. So then I'm not that, and I'm bad, and I'm terrible, and that's one strong, that's one. We were never, like, it's so interesting because there's a whole nother school of Musar thought. That's why we call this Slabatka's school of thought. Many of the great Gaonim that you heard about, Rav Aaron Cutler and there's a guy named Reb Teitz from Edison. He built up a whole community. The Cambridge school of thought of Slabatka. Slabatka's school of thought was entirely, entirely different than the other school of thought. In that, instead of trying to beat you down, right, the Slabatka school of thought was, you are an unbelievable person. You can do amazing things. You have the power to build worlds and to create. Are you living up to your potential? Maybe. Are you living up to your potential? Look at your day, examine yourself, and instead of saying, oh, you're bad, you messed up, you're terrible, you have to fix this, you have to fix that. Meaning in Slobodka, they expected the students to come dressed in a tie and a jacket, and not to be dirty, and to be, you know, and Torah is to be honored and exalted. And a Torah personality is a person that people would look up to. Not just in their learning and their privateness, but in the way they acted, and the way, you know what I'm saying? And there's tremendous power in that. For whatever reason, the Mesilat Yesharim school of thought won in the yeshiva. But there's not enough of that. You know, I mean, that, by the way, this Rav Daron that we speak about, he goes over it over and over again. Right? This, there's destruction in the negation. He says the core, he says this, and I find it extremely powerful. You have to start with a sense of good. Rabbi Nachman says it over and over, good. Rabbi Nachman says you have to find the good in you. Right? If you always think you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, then you just can't do it. He says it about Sefirat HaOmer. It's this beautiful thing. He said, why do we count up instead of counting down? He said, because if you count down, you say, 49 days to go, 48 days to go, I'll never get there. Forget it. You give up. But you count up, you say, oh, I did one, I did two, I did three. Look at what you did. Look how much you did. You know what I'm saying? What? Right.
Yeah, not like just how much more you have to.
So you want to say, that's what he says, right. He says, very good. He said that. Were you at this year? He said that. He said, Jews who are like Chacham looks to the right. What does it mean to look to the right? Look how much you've done to the right. Very good. Baruch Kivan. It's very beautiful. So I find this stuff, it draws me right now. I'm very drawn to it. The goodness. So what is Kedoshim to you? Don't look at, oh my gosh, I have to get all these things out. You have to be focusing on what do we separate ourselves from and how much do we do accomplish in Kedusha. That's very important. Okay, now let's go back to the Ramban.
It's
very
just looking at the mundane and trying to just elevate it. So how can I connect this?
1 second. Let's see, that's the problem is when you take it so broad, how can I connect this? It's so broad.
It's something mundane. Eating is mundane. So you add a bracha to it, you're elevating it. You're stopping and you're appreciating.
I think I agree with you, but in a more specific sense. There's a very, very famous Ramban that you have to see. If you have it inside, it's worthwhile. Do you have the Ramban? Is that the Ramban?
It's very long.
Ooh.
Kedoshim to you.
Very famous Ramban. The reason I did this is because it's very important to know this Ramban. It's classic. It's like a core Ramban in Jewish literature. Okay? The Ramban says the following. He quotes Rashi. He quotes the Rashi about sexuality. And this is the following. Siri says, Ulufi da'ati. According to my understanding, you don't have it, Aviva. Ulufidati. You have it? You see it?
Yeah.
Okay. Ein ha-prishut hazo. I don't think this prishut, this separation is lifrosh min ha-arayot ki divei harav. I don't think it's right. I don't think that's what it means, like Rashi said. Aval prishut hazo meskeret b'chol makom b'tamud sheba'aleha nikra'im prishim. That it's the people who are, what is prishut, separation? That the person who fulfills it is called a perush. Right? The idea is ki haTorah hizhira ba'arayot. God commanded arayot, sexuality, right? Inappropriate sexual behavior. Uma'achalim asurim, forbidden foods. Vehetira habia ish v'ishto v'achilat basar v'yan. But Torah permitted sexual activity, right? Sexual intercourse, right? And you could eat meat and wine. Imken, if so, yimza ba'al tahava makom. Right? The person who is a person of Baal Tava, desires, will find a place. Liot Shatuf Bezimat Ishto. He will be engaged in sexuality with his wife, Shatuf. How does he translate? You see what he says?
Carnality.
Oh, Nashav Harabot. You can have many wives.
Or of his many wives.
Yeah. Liot Pisovei Yayin Bezole Basar Lamo. He'll be a drunkard.
He'll be
a glutton with meat. Viedaber Kirtsono Becholon Veilot. There's no prohibition in Torah against cursing and being profane and being disgusting. Shlavuskar isur zeh b'Torah. It's not prohibited. This is the line. Mehine yihyeh naval birshut haTorah. That's the line. Naval birshut haTorah. You will be a naval, a profane person with the permission of the Torah. There's no prohibition against my drinking 40 cups of coffee a day. I like coffee. There's no prohibition against being a drug addict. There's no prohibition against engaging sexuality with your wife or your many wives as much as you like. So you could say, I am keeping Torah to the letter of the law. I keep all the commandments. Lefikach ba hakatuv. The Torah says, Acharei sheparata asurim sheisuratam legamrei. After it gave you specifics, v'tziva b'davar klali, then it gave a general commandment, Shinya Prushim Min HaMutarot. We have to separate ourselves from that which is permitted. Yima Eit B'Mishkal. You should minimize sexuality. Ki'inyan Shenemar Shloye Talmidei Chachamim. Like the rabbi said, Talmidei Chachamim should not be Mitzuyim Ashon Eitzel Nishotem Ketarnegolim. Shouldn't be like a chicken.
Like a rooster.
Like a rooster.
Can I say something?
What does the rooster do?
All
the
time.
The Kedusha doesn't come from the written Torah. It comes from the oral Torah.
One second. I'm going to skip a little bit because I want to get to it. Okay? Megam yishmor pi v'lashon no. You have to watch your mouth and your tongue. You don't eat everything you want. You don't say everything you want. Okay? I'm skipping the next paragraph. I don't know paragraphs. Be'elu, with these ukiyotze bahem, and with similar things, ba mitzvah hazot haklalit. It's a general mitzvah. Acharei she'parat kol ha'averot. After you said all the averot that are asurim, ad she'ikhanes b'chol zot ha'tzavah ha'nekiyut b'yado b'gufo. It's not a specific commandment. It's a broader commandment. And the way I want to interpret it is, there's letter of the law, and then there's spirit of the law. Why did God give you all these commandments? Yes, you're right. There are rules. Okay? But a person, if you just follow the letter of the law, and you don't see the spirit of the law, what are the rules there for? They're to give you a general direction. So a person could, like you say, put on tefillin, and wear tzitzit, and like, oh no, I follow tzitzit. I always think of this, and it's a terrible example, but I'm 100% tzanua. You can wear the most tight-fitting, you know, skirt, and like you can see everything. Oh no, but cut them, cut my elbows. Like, come on, who are you kidding? And I'm saying, look, oh, I'm 100% kadosh, but at every tesha, every night I have a bottle of wine and the finest wine, and I eat only the finest, steak. And you're right, you could do it. But is that a person who's holy? Is that what God wants you to do?
What about humble?
What? It's not a matter of humility. It's a matter of, yes, God gave you pleasure, but the idea is finding the mean. How should we say this? The mean, the fine line in sanctifying the pleasure. Because at a certain point, the pleasure becomes the end in and of itself, and not the means towards Kedusha. I think that going towards the Orach Chaim of saying all pleasure is a submission to the profane, I don't follow that. I don't subscribe to that. But there is a point beyond which it is. Meaning the goal that we have to do is to find a way in which there's godliness, there's spirituality in the pleasure, in the sexuality, in the enjoyment. Did God give us the coffee? He gave me coffee? Yes. Do I think that enjoying coffee, using the coffee as a means to bring people together to learn? What better way could there be?
Yeah.
Coffee to bring people together to do other things?
How do we figure it
Not
out?
Not so sure.
How do we figure it out?
You asked for it. I'm sorry. That's not sure. What? How do you figure it out? There's no answer. I said, what do you mean, how do you figure it out?
It's a bracha when you see the king or queen of your country.
100%. But that bracha, seeing the king or queen, as a means to appreciate the greatness of God.
Yes, of course.
Sorry.
Are we saying a bracha at
them? Yeah, really. You're saying shever brachas. Very good. Okay. What I want to say is this. It's a moving target. Meaning, and that's like, see, it's not a cop-out. Because religiosity is, that's what spirituality is. That's what godliness is. Godliness is the never-ending quest to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And as you reach a level, you see, wow, I thought I got there. Right? If you got there, it wouldn't be worth getting towards. Because as soon as you get there, you realize there's so much more to get. There's so much more to know. There's so much more improvement I could have. You know what I'm saying? And that's a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing that it's a moving target because it gets smaller and smaller for each person on their level, for what they're on their tikkun and what they're trying to achieve. What is holiness? Holiness is the search for godliness in your life. Right? It's not spirituality per se. It's finding godliness in the mundane. And I think that's what he's saying. I would say, and I don't think this is a cop out, finding the spirit of the law in the fulfillment of the letter of the law. It is saying the bracha, but it isn't just saying the bracha. It's saying the bracha and meaning it. And that's really hard. It's so easy to say the bracha. It's so much harder to think about the bracha.
So I've never managed to count the Omer, the whole thing.
Yeah.
This is, and I always sort of lose interest. It becomes this thing that I just have to remember to do.
Yeah.
And this year, of course, I forgot one. It ended up now saying counting without the bracha.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know, Rabbi Doron, you wrote in the Beyond Time, like you wrote this thing about counting the Omer. And it just, I don't know, it just fitted in with
talk to you.
The first time counting without a bracha, and I'm not feeling like, oh, whatever, I've forgotten the bracha, might as well.
still just for
no, you still have to count. Right.
Yeah, and I'm doing it with like the level of joy now that I understand the spirit of. Like,
can you do a share on that?
On Spirit of Omer? Well, ask him to do it. You know, all I'm saying is that you're right. But it is so all encompassing and it's never ending. But that's what Torah is all about: trying to find, trying to search for the meaning, trying to find the meaning, the spirit of the law, and the letter of the law. Trying to bring sanctity and bring holiness to the mundane, and you can't always do it. Obviously, there's a mundane life. You know, we're going back. Go to shopping. Lots of them. Oh, I find spirituality and holiness in Rami Levy. Like, you got to go shopping. You got to live life.
You're feeding your family.
Okay, you know, like some actions are more mundane than others. You know what I'm saying?
So if somebody says, this was a really spiritual experience, you must do it, whatever.
It might be for you, but it very well might not. Your most spiritual experience could very well be sitting at the Seder or reading a story to your grandchildren. One person's spirituality is not another. But it's never without fulfillment of the mitzvah. It's finding, I say it again, finding the spirit of the law within the letter of the law. There is no spirituality without Shmirat HaMitzvah. When we follow what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do, and then we find meaning in that, that I think what Ramban is talking about. And the more you work on it, the greater it becomes.
Let's say you're just walking down the street and you're looking at some gorgeous trees. And
beautiful.
Like, wow. That's
I said
amazing.
A bracha this morning. You know there's a bracha. You all say it in Nisan.
Yes.
There's a bracha to stay on the trees. You have to find two fruit trees, two separate flowering.
Yeah.
Go look in the art scroll. And there's a specific bracha to stay in Nisan. It's a beautiful. He said it over there. You should go and say the bracha before Nisan is over.
But that's elevating.
Okay.
If you're walking down and you go, oh, it's a beautiful tree.
That's right.
One thing. But if you go and you go, oh, wow, look at
this bracha.
Kaddish bracha,
beautiful. That's right.
Like, I heard this also like in regards to how we look at music and listen to music and the arts, that you can't appreciate it, but you have to appreciate that the talent that that artist had came from Hashem.
Yeah,
but that's not doing a bracha or a mitzvah.
But it's still connecting Hashem.
It's still spiritual.
But you are also in the context of doing mitzvah. You understand what I'm saying? You're living in a world in the context of mitzvah. A person who doesn't live in that context isn't seeing it in that frame, usually.
There's a story about a Rebbe. I forgot which Rebbe. He's on a plane with his student. And
Rebbe,
his student was looking out the window going, just look at this. Look how amazing Hashem is. And he said to his student, just look at your hand.
Yeah. That's true. All right, Sophia.